This week, we're going to be looking into the book of Revelation, and it's going to be 3 weeks in a row. First, we're going to look at the seals of the scroll that are held by the Lord. Then we're going to look at the trumpets that are blown, and then we're going to look at the bowl judgments, because a lot of people don't really understand what's going on with this. So we begin Revelation 5, verses 1 to 7. Then I saw in the right hand of the one seated on the throne a scroll with writing on the inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. I also saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?" But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or even look at it. And I cried and cried because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or even look at it. Then one of the elders said to me, "Don't cry. Stop crying. Look, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has been victorious so that he may open the scroll and its seven seals." Then I saw one like a slaughtered lamb standing between the throne and the four living creatures. And among the elders, he had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent into all the earth. He came and took the scroll out of the right hand of the one seated on the throne. Let's pray. Lord, help me as I explain this. Help this to be a good time for everyone to learn and not to worry because of what's written in Revelation that's so hard to understand. Go with us. Make us your people and help us to serve you well in Jesus' name. Amen. So, what I'm going to do here is I'm going to start reading the various seals that are broken on this scroll and then explaining them as we go along. First of all, we have some background. John goes to the throne room of God. This is a very intense experience, of course. He's sitting there right in the presence of God the Father. And there's great glory to God and worship of Him. And this is where we see the first mention of the scroll that has the future locked in it. Now, God has the scroll in His hands. And He says, "Who can break the seals and open it?" But they can't find anybody who can do this, and it makes John cry. But then the elder says, "Well, the Lion of the tribe of Judah can open the seals." But it turns out that the Lion of Judah is a lamb, but he's worshipped. Now, the symbolism of this is that Jesus is the Lion and the Lamb. He came first as a lamb, as a suffering servant, as a sacrifice, as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. When He comes back the next time, He will be the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And He will take over. As Tom Skinner said, He does not take sides. He takes over. His word becomes law and cannot be resisted. So, what about this? Then I saw the Lamb open one of the seven seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures say, with a voice like thunder, "Come." I looked, and there was a white horse. The horseman on it had a bow. A crown was given to him, and he went out as a victor to conquer. Now, this is the beginning of what is commonly referred to as the four horsemen of the apocalypse. Each one has specific symbolism. The first one, I want to point out that this comes just after the rapture. And the importance of that, of course, is that as you see all these horrific things, don't worry. We're not here. We're gone. Jesus has called home all of the church, and he's not there. When you see people who are Christians and martyrs from now on, they are people who were martyred during the tribulation. So the first seal and the white horse comes with a rider, and it says he's victorious. Now, a white horse was what the Roman generals generally rode into Rome on. This shows that he is victorious. This shows that he has come to power. But what we think is that it actually symbolizes the Antichrist. He's coming to power. He's that great world leader that's going to bring everything together. I personally think that he will be brought to power because of the rapture. All of a sudden, all the Christians in the world just suddenly disappear. That's a lot of people, no matter what people may think of how many Christians there are. But we will be turning to find somebody who can hold this all together. So this probably symbolizes the Antichrist. Then we come to the second seal. When he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, "Come." And another horse went out, a fiery red one. And its horsemen was empowered to take peace from the earth so the people would slaughter one another. And a large sword was given to him. And this is a red horse. Red very often means war. If you look in it in Greek, it has a kind of a symbolism that says it would be like blood red. The sword, obviously, is military power. But it's power by force. And he's taking peace away. So this is, we've had the Antichrist come and bring peace, but now he's taking away peace. He's got people going out ahead of him to mess up the peace. And then we looked, when he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, "Come." And I looked, and there was a black horse. The horseman on it had a set of scales in his hands. Then I heard something like a voice among the four living creatures say, "A quart of wheat for a denarius, and 3 quarts of barley for a denarius, but do not harm the olive oil and the wine." When he opened a fourth, we'll get that in a minute. It's a black horse and scales. And when it talks about having things for a denarius was one day's wage. So basically, you have the ability to buy one day's food for a day's wage. So you're living day to day. But then it also says there's no oil and no wine. So what this symbolizes is the collapse of the world economy. So we have now come to the point where that everything has just gone to blazes. We've got wars. We've got power. We've got a collapse of the world economy. And then it gets worse. When he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature say, "Come." And I looked, and there was a pale green horse. The horseman on it was named Death, and Hades was following him. Authority was given to them over a fourth of the earth, to kill by the sword, by famine, and by plague, and by the wild animals of the earth. So, interestingly enough, this particular version, which is the Holman version, says a pale green horse. Now, there is a word in Greek that is actually a color that means sickness. It is a pale green. It's gross green. The word is ichor, and it means that it is just sickness, plague, whatever, and not something you want to have anything to do with. It's something you want to avoid. And that's why it was being ridden by death, and they were killing a fourth of the earth by sword, by famine, by plague, by wild animals. When he opened a fifth seal, I saw under the altar the people slaughtered because of God's word and the testimony they had. They cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, the one who is holy and true, how long until you judge and avenge our blood from those who live on the earth?" So a white robe was given to each of them, and they were told to rest a little while longer until the number would be completed of their fellow slaves and their brothers who were going to be killed just as they had been. Now, these are martyrs from the tribulation. Remember, the church is completely gone. So if there are people who died for serving Jesus, they came to Jesus during the tribulation. And they're not with the rest of the church. They're under the altar because they didn't go when the time came for it all to be, the end to begin. And so they're being held in this particular place under the altar until all of the ones from their group have been killed and brought to them. And then they will go and be with all of the church and everybody when Jesus returns. They're honored and told to rest. They're waiting for the end of the tribulation. So, then I saw him open the sixth seal. A violent earthquake occurred. The sun turned black like sackcloth, made of goat's hair. The entire moon became like blood. The stars of heaven fell to the earth as a fig drops its unripe figs when shaken by a high wind. The sky separated like a scroll being rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved from its place. Then the kings of the earth, the nobles, the military commanders, the powerful and the rich, and every slave and free person hid in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains. And they said to the mountains and to the rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of the one seated on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, because the great day of their wrath has come. And who is able to stand?" Now, so here we have the sixth seal broken. It causes an earthquake. The sun is black. The moon's like blood. The stars are falling. And there's a warning of judgment. Now, this parallels the 13th chapter of Mark. I know that because it came up as my Bible reading one day, and I saw it, and I said, man, this is a part of my sermon this Sunday. But it's probably also in Matthew 24, but I don't know if they use the words exactly, but it was striking to me that Jesus was talking about the end, and he basically paralleled that sixth seal that was open. Then we have to skip all the way down to chapter 8. And the reason we're doing this is because the rest of the chapter 7 is all about what they're doing to honor and to protect those martyrs from the tribulation. It also talks about the 144,000 Jews who will come to Christ. But then we come back and we have the seventh seal. When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. Then I saw the seven angels who stand in the presence of God. Seven trumpets were given to them. Another angel with a gold incense burner came and stood at the altar. He was given a large amount of incense to offer with the prayers of the saints on the gold altar in front of the throne. The smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints went up in the presence of God from the angel's hand. The angel took the incense burner, filled it with fire from the altar, and hurled it to the earth. There were rumblings of thunder, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. And the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared to blow them. Now, it's interesting to see the fact that as the seals end, they introduce the trumpets. You'll see later that as the trumpets end, they introduce the bowls. But the seventh seal follows the comforting of the martyrs. It says there's silence for half an hour. And a lot of people joke this is when all of the theologians are changing their books because they have suddenly found out that they weren't really right about it. There are many books that are very interesting that were trying to justify a lot of different scripture and saying, well, we know that Israel is never going to exist again, so it must be that all these things about Israel are actually talking about the church. In a way, they were, because Israel was a type of the church. But as we now know, Israel came back exactly as God had said. When God says something, he doesn't mess around. Sometimes he has a dual meaning for the present when it is said and for the future when what they are being typical of actually occurs. But we think silence for half an hour was because of the seriousness of this. These people were in awe of what was about to go on. Shock and awe. The fire was hurled to the earth. This is where the judgments begin. We see that the incense, which is the a type of the prayers of the faithful, are hurled to the earth where there are no faithful, or there are very few and they're being killed. And then it talks about the seven trumpets that are about to be blown. And that's what scares them. So what does this all mean to us? Well, first of all, remember, it doesn't affect us in the least. We will not be here. We will be watching from heaven. It will be terrifying for those who are on the earth and don't know Jesus. Those who do know Jesus will be killed very quickly, is what it says. And they will know that no matter what happens, that they're under the protection of the Lord. And even if they're killed, then when you're absent from the body, you're present with the Lord, so who cares? But next week, it's going to get a lot worse. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for explaining things to us. We thank you for bringing John, your beloved disciple, to see and tell us and tell the people of his own day so that they would know what was coming and they would not be surprised. go with us in all we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for being here, guys.